Okay, we're starting here on the top of Mem Vav Amud Aleph. We have a story with Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira Chalash, he became ill. Rabbi Zeira, the Gemara in Bava Metzia, tells us a story about Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira went from Bavel and was Ole L'Eretz Yisrael. When he was Ole L'Eretz Yisrael, he fasted 100 fasts to forget all the Torah he had learned in Bavel and to start afresh with the Torah at Eretz Yisrael. He didn't want the Torah at Bavel to influence him in any way. He wanted to make sure that he started with a clean slate when he learned by Rabbi Yochanan in Eretz Yisrael. He fasted another 100 fasts. That Rabbi Lazar, who was the Rosh Yeshiva, the head of the Tzibur there, wouldn't pass away, because otherwise he'd be stuck with dealing with the Tzibur, and he didn't want the Ole Tzibur. Then he fasted another 100 fasts, the Lo Shalit Be Eshkel Gehenom, that the fire of Gehenom would not ever affect him. Then it says, Echad L'Shloshim Yom, Badkei Nafshei. Every 30 days he used to check himself out. How did he do that? He used to climb into a stove. Every 30 days he'd climb into a stove and see if he got burnt. So we know that everything was kosher by him. So he did that for many years until one day someone gave him an ayin hara. He went in and his legs got burnt from that ayin hara. That's relevant to the story we'll see in 1 second. Zera Chalosh, she got sick. Al gabei Rabbi Abo. Well, came to visit him. Kobi lole. He accepted by himself. Imitpach. If he gets healthy. If he recovers from this illness. Now who is going to recover from this instant? This sickness. Katina Harich Chake. Katina is the short one, Rabbi Zeira happened to be short. Charich Shake, with the scorched legs. So he says, the short one with the scorched legs, if he gets healthy, I'm going to throw a big party. And that's referring to Rabbi Zeira, and that's based on the story that we just told over from Baba Metzia. Avidna Yomatova the Rabbanon. I'm going to make a huge party for all the Rabbanon to come. Sure enough, Yitpach, he got healthy. Avad Sudata the Kulu Rabbanon. He made a large party with all the Rabbanon that Rabbi Zeira recovered from this illness. Kimate the Mishrei. When it came to... Here, Mishrei means to begin the Sherut, but to begin the Suda. Amarle the Rabbi Zeira, Lishleilan Mar. You should have the honor of beginning the Suda, which means that you'll be Mavarech HaMotzi Lechem in Aretz. You'll be Botzeah. You'll want to break the bread. Amarle lo Sarvel Mar, Lahad Rabbi Yochanan. You don't hold of this what Rabbi Yochanan says. Damar Balabayit Botzeah. That the head of the household, the owner, is the one who is Botzeah. So Sharlohu, what's Rabbi Bo going to do now? He has to make the bracha because of that member of Yochanan. Kimata the bruche, when it came to the end of the meal, for Birkat HaMazon, I'm relaying Evrach Lan Mar. Rabbi Bo says to Rabbi Zeira, do the honor of benching for us. I'm relaying Lo Savala Mar, the Hadar of Huna, the Min Bavel. You don't hold of what Rav Huna from Bavel says. Now, as Rashi points out, Rav Huna, the Min Bavel, is the Stam Rav Huna we see all over Shas. In this context, he's called Rav Huna, Min Bavel, because Rabbi Zeira was Ola there at Yisrael. And he's talking about Rav Huna from back in Bavel. So in the context in which he's speaking, he's referencing him as Rav Huna de Bavel. When the Bavli speaks in general about Rav Huna, of course they're talking about Rav Huna de Bavel. Damar Butzeya Mivarech. The one who broke the bread, who said Amotzi, is the one who does the benching. Well, you did the Butzeya, you were the Balabait, so you did the Bracha Tamotzi, you should also do the Bracha of benching. V'yu command severely. Who did Rabbi Yebo hold like? The fact that Rabbi Yebo offered Rabbi Zeira to bench, whose position was he promoting? The Balabait is the one who breaks the bread, but the guest is the one who makes the bracha, does the Birkat HaMazon. And the Gemara gives us a reason. Balabait Botzeya, why is the Balabait the one who breaks the bread? Because he'll distribute things in a generous manner. He's the one who can be generous. It's his food. So it's much better to have the Balabait be the distributor of the food rather than having a guest who's not sure about what the Balabait really wants. And therefore he's going to give out in small portions. Here the Balabait can be generous to everyone. Voreach mivarech. On the other hand, the guest should be the one who says Birkat HaMazon. Kedei shivarech Balabait. So he give a brocha to the Balabait for providing the meal. First of all, we have a meal. What do we first do? We thank Hashem for the meal. Who do you thank after you thank Hashem for the meal? We thank the Balabait. You have to thank the person who provided the meal. So, my mivarech. What is the brocha that is said? It says here, at Sons is found in some of the benchers today, the brocha that the Gemara says, it's been replaced a lot in the benchers with harachman yivarech et balabait, ishto balabait, or something to that effect. But here the Gemara has a girsa of what it should be like and lashon of what the brocha should be. Hirat Son, shelo yivosh, balabait, v'lo mazir. Should not be embarrassed in this world and not be ashamed in the world to come. Rabbi Mosifa Dvarim, and then Rabbi added on additional pieces to this bracha, which is Vitzlach Ma'od B'chol Nechasav. He should be very successful in all his endeavors. and his possessions and our possessions should be successful and close to the city, as Rashi says, because then he can keep his eye on it and see what it needs all the time. Today, that would be so you don't have to commute. You're not saved the commuting time. Satan should have no control over what we do, what we produce, and what he produces. Vali is daker, the other girsa is dakek, which I think is the accepted girsa. Lo lefanav, lo lefanenu, shum davar hirhur chet. That should not come before us. We shouldn't have any issues with a hirhur chet, improper thoughts about a sin. Vaveira, vavon, me'atav, yadolam, for now until ever. So it's a beautiful bracha that you give to the balabayit. And see, break it down into two parts. The second part is very clear. It's about the financial success of the balabayit. Financial success, because here he was the one who provided the meal. So you want to give him a bracha of financial success. The first part of bracha, I'll just note, it says, Shelo yevosh, velo yikaleim. I heard from Rameir Lichtenstein, I think it's very nice, that this is a response to what we say in benching. What do we say in benching? V'na'al tatzricheinu, shemakenu? So what's the bracha you give to the balabayit? Exactly that. That's the bracha that's given here to the balabayit. And so the first piece is that response to what we say in Rachem. And the second part is a bracha, just a general bracha on Parnosa. Tosfot says, Miu yeshli ashev hani trei lishnei de Rabbi Yochanan. How do we reconcile the two Lashonot of Rabbi Yochanan? We don't have two Lashonot of Rabbi Yochanan. It's very interesting. We have a Lashon that comes from Rabbi Yochanan, that Balabayit Botzea. Then we have a member from Rav Huna. And then we have Rabbi Yochanan. So the steer is between Rav Huna, who says Botzea Mivarech, and Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the Balabayit is the Botzea and the Oreach Mivarech. That's the steerah. Either Tosafot had a different girsa, or he assumed that whatever Rabbi Zera was saying, he learned from Rabbi Yochanan. I don't know. But he says, how do we reconcile it? He says, depends if the balabayit is eating with them. If the balabayit is eating with them, then the hamotzi is done by the balabayit. Whereas, if he's not with them, then the godol is the one who's making hamotzi, v'gamhu yivarech. And then he'll also do the benching afterwards. So that's how you can reconcile this, that the butzea mivarech is an instance when there is no balabayit there. If the balabayit is present, then you have botzea and mevarech being separate. The botzea will be the balabayit, the oreach will be the mevarech, according to Tosafot. Now, ad heichan birkat hazimun. This is a very, very difficult piece of Gemara. The Rishonim all come in. I'm going to stick to Rashi and Tosafot over here, but just know that it's a very difficult piece. We'll start with Rashi, and then we'll move over to Tosafot. Where does birkat hazimun end? Rav Nachman Mar ad nevarech. It's the zimun, like we know it today. The additional piece that's in front of the bracha of hazan, that is zimun. V'rav sheishet amar ad hazan. Until hazan. That the birkat hazimun doesn't end in nevarech, but ends at baruch Hashem hazan et hakol. All the way to the end. Right. Seems pretty straightforward, except for the fact, nemakit tanai. Let us say this is a machloket tanaim. Tani chada birkat hamazon. Now the girsa that we have in front of us is shnayim v'shlosha, which will not work according to Rashi. According to Rashi, the girsa has to be shnayim v'shalosh in the kevab, because we're talking about the brachot. So then, according to Rashi, it's Birkat HaMazon Shtayim V'Shalosh. Benching is two or three brachot. B'tani Idoch, we have another bright that says, again, our Gizah Shlosha V'Arba, but according to Rashi, it has to be Shalosh V'Arba in the Keva, that there are three and four brachot in benching. Savrua. Let's take it for a given. Dekule Alma Tova Meitiv Lav Deoraitoi. That when it comes to the bracha of Tova Meitiv, the fourth bracha in benching is Midrabanan. That's a given. So neither of the brightot are addressing the bracha of a tov meitiv. So now you have to come up with a solution here. What does this mean? My love. Bahakim iflege. This is what they're arguing about. Mandar mar shtayim v'shalosh. The one who says two and three brachot. Kesavar adazan. He's the one who holds that birkat hazimun is until azan. So this is what's incredible about Rashi. Rashi says if you have a zimun, if you have three people, then what brachot do you make? How do you get to three? How do you get the three brachot of Birkat HaZimun? You have, the last one is Bunei Yerushalayim. The one before that is Al Aretz Velamazon. And the one before that is Hazan Et Hakol. Three brachot when you have three people there. Two people there, no Zimun. How many brachot? Rashi says two. Which brachot? Bunei Yerushalayim, Al Aretz Velamazon. No Hazan, according to that way Rashi's reading the Gemara. According to Rashi, if you don't have a Zimun there, you only read the letter two brachot. You don't read Hazan at all. The one who says three and four is holding like the one that Zimun only goes to Nevarech. That means If you're in a case with a zimun, you have four brachot. How do you have four brachot? Again, we'll work backwards. Bonei Yerushalayim is one. Al Haaretz V'Al HaMazon is two. Hazan is three. And four is the zimun. The Rabbi Tanya Varech. That's the fourth bracha. Three is when you don't have a zimun there. If you don't have a zimun there, then you have the three brachot, which is Bnei Yerushalayim, Al Haaretz V'Al-Mazon, and Hazan. That's the stira and the breita. But what do you see? Gemara is suggesting here that the breitot are arguing about this machlok between Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Sheshet. Rabbi Nachman and Sheshet are arguing about until where does Birkat HaZimun go, and that's what it seems the breita would have a difference of one bracha. That difference might be governed by the fact of whether Hazan is included or not included in the zimun. That's the way Rashi's reading it.
According to that shita, whoever says first shita doesn't include that the zimun is a bracha.
Correct, correct. The first one doesn't say Birkat HaZimun is a bracha.
Why?
Because he thinks that Hazan is all one bracha. Birkat HaZimun and Hazan are all one bracha, according to him. It's one unit. That's why he says Hazan is part of Birkat HaZimun. According to the first braita, there's a bracha of Hazan and the Birkat HaZimun is one unit. And as one unit, they are one bracha. And that's why he counts two or three in the first braita. The second braita says, no, that the Birkat HaZimun is separate from Hazan, and therefore you have four brachot or three brachot, according to that. But the amazing part of Rashi is Rashi Sheshet's opinion. Sheshet's opinion, it turns out, if you don't have a zimun, you would bench without the bracha of Hazan, which is incredible.
Why do we say Hazan? Maybe it would be,
but there's no reason to do that. The reason to take off Hazan is because it's part of zimun. There's a reason to do it. Bonei Yerushalayim, you have no reason to drop it. All right, the Gemara is going to come to your conclusion. So Gemara says, Rav Nachman mitaretz l'tamei, Rav Sheshet mitaretz l'tamei. Each one of them has an answer according to their own position. Rav Nachman mitaretz l'tamei, dekuliyama ad nevarech. Everybody holds that Zimun ends with the what we know as Zimun in the first piece there. Therefore, if you say 3 and 4, it works well. There's no question, according to Rav Nachman, because we already set it up that way. We're dealing with the bracha of the Poalim, which we saw earlier in the Masechta, David, what you're suggesting now, which is, the Poalim only say three brachot. They don't say Hatov Meiti, which is only Din Derabbanan. And even in the first three brachot, they say Hazan, the Kolel Bnei Yerushalayim BeBirkat Haaretz, and they combine the latter two brachot of Al Haaretz V'Al HaMazon and Bnei Yerushalayim. They combine them together, and therefore they end up with two brachot. So Poalim are going to end up with two brachot, as opposed to others, regular people are going to end up with three brachot. Rav Sheshet mitaretz l'tamei. Rav Sheshet answers based on his shita, the kulima and Hazan. Everybody agrees it goes until Hazan. Mandar ma shtaim shalosh shapir. He works well until the bright that says two and three. What about shlosh var? But mandar ma shlosh var kosover hatov v'ameitim de'oraita yi. Tov v'ameitim is counted as one of the brachot. And that's how he gets his 3-4, because he makes tov v'ameitim be de'oraita. Which is again, we'll get to that in the Gemara further on. Now the Gemara is going to address, Amar Rav Yosef, Teda the Tov Meitiv Lav Doraita. I can prove to you that Tov Meitiv is not Min HaTorah. Shapo Areya Polim Okrim Ota. Because Polim skip it. The workers skip that bracha. Why would they skip that bracha? Elaim Kain, it's not Min HaTorah. It's only instituted by the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan exempted them from saying that bracha. If it's Min HaTorah, how could they skip out of it? Tosafot back on Daf Ted Zion says that's not true. That the Chachamim allowed you to skip things, B'Shev Bal Taseh. And he says that you're allowed to be Oker Dover Min HaTorah. He says that about Tovu Meitiv. So the Gilyan HaShatz, if you keep Eger, asks right there, points to this Gemara, and over here, he points to the Tosfot over there. It's a problematic Tosfot. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Mishmei Derab Teda Tovu Meitiv V'Lav Doraita. I also can prove to you, Shari Poteach Ba Beboruch, Vein Chotein Ba Beboruch. It starts with a Baruch. What's the problem with that? It's a Brocha Hasmucha L'Chaverta. Whenever you have juxtaposed brachot, you do not have to begin the bracha with the baruch. For instance, all our brachot in Shemoneh Esrei. We begin Shemoneh Esrei with baruch, but every other subsequent bracha does not begin with baruch, because it's a bracha smukha lechaverta. You have a bracha smukha lechaverta, you don't have to open with baruch. The fact that you open baruch by Tov HaMeitiv shows you that it's not part of the previous three brachot. Even so, that shouldn't matter, truthfully. That should have no impact. Because even if you have a bracha smukha lechaverta, even if they're not technically together, three d'oraita, one d'rabbanan, it still shouldn't open baruch. So what Tosafot says, it has to be that it was nitkan independently, completely independently. The bracha of Tov HaMeitiv, we'll see later on, was nitkan al harugei beitar shenitam lekvura. The people who were killed in beitar were eventually allowed to be buried, and chachamim were mitakin this bracha of Tov HaMeitiv. They later moved it to be appended to Birkat HaMazon. But when it was nitkan, it was independent. If it was independent, it started with baruch. But that's an indication of the fact that it's different than the rest of benching, that it's independent of the rest of benching.
According to the standard of
You have a problem, right? Very
good.
It's interesting. I don't know. There's sometimes we do things with the matbea brocha, meaning that maybe you don't have to start with baruch because that's the normal matbea brocha, which is that it really starts baruch, so we leave it alone. But it's possible, according to Rav Sheshi, you would have to start with baruch. That's shitat Rashi. Tosafot goes crazy. He says, first of all, we have machloket Rav Sheshi, Rav Nachman, the halacha is Rav Sheshi. We pass on except in dinim. These surah we pass on like Rav Sheshit, but not we only pass on bedine. That means, according to Rashi, we're going to pass on like Rav Sheshit, and people who bench without a zimun are going to skip Birkat Hazan. Tosafot says that can't be. Number one, Birkat Hazan, we're going to see in the Gemara, is midoraita. Gemara says, v'chalta, v'savata, uveirachta, et Hashem Elokecha. Uveirachta teaches you Birkat Hazan. Gemara says, it's mina Torah, Birkat Hazan. How could you skip it? Number two, you have a problem. Listen to what Tosafot says. What's the problem? The masim b'chol yom, the yachim b'verek shalosh brachot. It says we see everybody around here is making the brach of Hazan. Right? Nobody's skipping it. So he says, what are we going to do? What, we pass on Rav Sheshit and everybody's saying Hazan. V'chein yesh lefaresh. So Tosafot says that. You can't explain away. Rashi, dekoya dela'el. It's talking about earlier on in the Gemara. De'achad machsik l'shnayim. Remember before we said that when you have three people together, if two people want to bench, they can force the third one to bench with them. If one wants to bench, you can't force the other two to bench with him. Well, in that case, where the two force the one to bench, how long does he have to wait? He's answering from the Zimun. He's answering to the Birkat HaZimun. Where does the Birkat HaZimun end? And that's the Malchalokit here. So now, when can he continue eating his meal? Does he wait until just Zimun's over and they can start eating? Or does he have to wait for the bracha of Hazan to be finished? That lo mishum de chashim Birkat Hazan mizimun. It's not because Birkat Hazan is part of the Zimun, but el mishum de kevin in the varech, enu bracha, enu omra levada, ali gmori ma gam Birkat Hazan. It's a question, if he doesn't say a bracha, right, you can't just say Birkat Hazimun independently. Birkat Hazimun says, let us give a bracha to Hashem. And we say, yes, everybody answers, yes, let us give bracha to Hashem. Well, if you do that, you need to say a bracha. You can't have Zimun without saying a bracha afterwards. You can't just say, yeah, let us bless Hashem. Well, you gotta have the blessing. And that's the argument here. Does it stand independently or not? Same machloket, by the way, has to do with barchu. The minhag agrah, where we say barchu after davening, is we say barchu, and then we just respond, baruch Hashem, baruch Olam Vayed. Those that object say, well, if you say barchu, you need to say a bracha afterwards. You can't just say barchu and then say baruch Hashem, baruch Olam Vayed. The Gra says, no, Baruch Hashem Avrach Olam Vayed is the answer. That is the response. So you can say the same thing by Rabotai Nevarech. The answer of, yes, let us all bless Hashem could be the response, and that's sufficient. Or do I need to actually say a bracha afterwards? And that's Machlokes between Rav Sheshit and Rav Nachman here. Do you have to include Birkat Hazan or not in the Zimun when they're answering? So there he says, okay, Mishin Nevarech, Enu Bracha, Enu Umra, Levadali, Gmori, Magam Birkat Hazan, Bahashin Necho, the Kaimelon Shapir, Rav Sheshit. Then it works well, because then we do all like Rav Sheshit. That you don't have to wait around for the Birkat Hazan. That is not Muskam Nakol. There are Rishonim who think we do have to wait around for Birkat Hazan, and it is part of the Zimun. And therefore today our practice is when you bench and you bring someone in to bench with you who's still eating, they wait until after Birkat Hazan before they continue eating. Alright, now, Shnayim Ushlosha. This is important, because according to Tosafot, he can't read the Brayto like Rashi did. He can't be talking about two and three brachot, because Tosafot doesn't think there's any question here. He thinks you say all the brachot, whether you're yochid or not. So Tosafot can't read it that way. So Tosafot says that Rashi changed the gears in the Gemara. The gears in the Gemara was in the male formulation. It was shlosha, arba'a, and shnayim and shlosha, which means he can't be referencing the brachot. What is it referencing? The number of people. He quotes the Rif. It says he's talking about shnei b'nei adam, shlosha b'nei adam. The question is, like when you have to give up kibudim at sheva brachot, how many people can you give kibudim to? How many can you break it down? That's the question here. If each person is going to say a bracha, how many brachot do you have available to you in order to give out? And so that's the question at hand here. Eshlosha v'arba or shnayim v'shlosha? What's the question? Is Birkat Zimun independent? Is Birkat Zimun independent and you could give that to one person and then Hazan can be done by the next person? Or is Birkat Zimun part of Hazan and therefore you can only have one person say Zimun and Hazan? And obviously the difference between Yachid and a Zimun would be that bracha of Zimun itself. So that's how you get from 2 to 3, or 3 to 4 will be the difference of whether you have Zimun included or not. The only question is Zimun and Hazan one honor, one kibud for someone, or you can split them up? And that's the way the Rif reads, and that's the way Tosafot's going to have to read it, because he can't read it like the way that Rashi reads it. Right now, Gemara brings a Braita. It's a fundamental Braita in Brachot. Tosafot goes through, by the way, all Birkat HaShachar. These are basic halachot in Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah. It's something that everybody needs to know. Tosafot goes through the whole Birkat HaShachar now and explains why we do things the way we do them. So I'll go over there quickly afterwards. But here, the Braita says, Kidetanya, we have a Braita. Kol HaBrachot Kulam Poteach Behem BeBaruch, Vehotchotem Behem BeBaruch. Every bracha has to begin with a Baruch and end with a Baruch. Then Chutz. Now we have all the exceptions. Now you should know in the world of brachot, the problem with the world of the brachot was that they were not established at once. We know that already, that was a continuum. That was a continuum of institution of brachot. And we saw that already with the Amoraim, that the Amoraim already added in brachot that the Tanaim didn't have. And so there's a continuum of progression of brachot. So now what you're trying to do is go backwards and try to create a principle for the brachot. And then, by definition, it's going to be problematic, because everything's going to be exceptions. If you start with a principle, and then you establish all the brachot, it's easy to do. But this is not what the Gemara is going backwards and trying to impose a framework on how the brachot were created, and that's why it's going to fail to start with, and you know that everything, they're going to be except this, except that, except this. And that's what the Gemara itself is dealing with, and then the Rishonim are trying to deal with. How come we have all these exceptions to the rule? And again, it comes because there's really no unifying force. The Ri says this in the Gemara in Psachim, when he says in the end, he tried to unify all the brachot and come up with a single way to explain why we make a bracha, la mol, ala mila, all these things, he says he could never figure it out. But part of that problem stems from the fact that they were instituted over time, and that it's a continuum of institution and not a singular framework that was used. So same thing here. So we say every bracha begins with baruch, ends with baruch. Chutz, close to me, brikata peirot, ubrikata mitzvot. Brikata peirot, ubrikata mitzvot, don't get a baruch at the end, only get it in the beginning. Ubracha smucha lechaberta, which is what we're after here, juxtapose brachot. Ubracha achrona shebekriyat shema. And the last bracha in kriyat shema. Yesh ben shepoteach behen bebaruch, veino chotein bebaruch. Some of them start with baruch and then don't end with brachot. Yesh ben shepotein behen bebaruch, vein poteach behen. Some end with a baruch, don't start with a baruch. And then, vatoba meitiv poteach bebaruch, vein chotein bebaruch. Vatoba meitiv begins with baruch, doesn't end with baruch. Michal, the bracha b'fneat smahi. And that's what the Gemara was after, that's the point that Tovah Meitiv is its own bracha, because it should have qualified as a bracha smucha lefer chaverta. The fact that it doesn't is indicative of the fact that it's a separate institution, it's a takanat chachamim, not part of the mitzvah de'oraita. Now what you have to do here is, and the Rishonim do this, Rashi says, what are those that begin with baruch and don't end with baruch? That's, the Gemara is explaining what are birkata peirot and birkata mitzvot. Birkata peirot, birkata mitzvot start with baruch, but don't have a conclusion. Why? Because they're very short brachot, Rashi says. Shum dekula chada hoda. They're one theme. There's one theme in all these brachot, and therefore you only need to open the brachot, you don't need to conclude. He says, I'll give you an example where you don't have that. Kiddush! By Kiddush, enefseg, davar tchino, davar acher betucha, kamo sheyesh bekiddush. By Kiddush, you have this different themes floating through the Kiddush. You see, there are different themes floating through the Kiddush. You have to start with Baruch and end with Baruch, because you're doing multiple themes. As soon as you have multiple themes, you need to open and close with Baruch. That's Rashi's explanation of this. And then what's an example of something that is not poteach bebaruch, but does end bebaruch? That's a bracha smucha lechaverta. Or the bracha achrona should be kriyat shema. This isn't clear. I'm not going to get into this. A big machloket about why bracha achrona kriyat shema fits in here. Tosfot says over here, why is the bracha achrona kriyat shema not have to have open bebaruch? Tosfot says, because it's a bracha smucha lechaverta. You started out with yotzer or. Next bracha smucha lechaverta is avarabo. Next bracha after that is emet ve'emun or emet ve'yotziv. That's a bracha smucha lechaverta. What about kriyat shema? You have Kriyat Shema right in the middle. Kriyat Shema in the middle, what, isn't that a hefsek? Because it says that's not a hefsek, that's topical. That's all part of it, that's thematically connected to it. It's just flowing, it's all part of Abba Rabba, it's the same theme. And therefore, it's a bracha smucha lechaverta. Other Rishonim, I think Rashi says in other places, that Shema is the betichat bracha for the bracha after Kriyat Shema. It's not that it's not poteach bebaruch, but that rather Shema is a petichat habrocha. Alright, those are different answers, fundamentally, bracha achrona and kriyat Shema, why it does not open bebaruch. Alright, that's just the quick form of this, I'm not getting into too deeply, but I want to do is Tosafot. Tosafot goes through a whole birkat hashachar, and he says, first of all, birkat kentilat yadayim is independent of asher yatzar. Says sometimes you don't need to go to the bathroom in the morning, so you don't need to say asher yatzar. So the two are independent. Kentilat yadayim, that's why asher yatzar starts with baruch. Elokai neshama does not start with baruch. How come it doesn't open with Baruch? So the answer of the Gra, and that's the way we've the Manik today, it is a Bracha Smucha Leverta. Asher Yatzar and Elokai Neshama go back to back. And that's the way people in Eretz Yisrael generally are noeg, the Ramah disagrees, but at least Minhag Gra is to put them together because they are Bracha Smucha Leverta. Tosafot says they're not. He says, sometimes, Elokai Neshama has nothing to do with Asher Yetzer. Again, if you don't have to go to the bathroom in the morning, you still say Elokai Neshama if you slept. So why are the two connected? But then Tosfot has a problem. Why doesn't it open with Baruch? So Tosfot says something interesting. He says that it's a Tzarek Lamar Hov in Ba Eloho Da Da Alma. It's just Shemach to Hashem, so it doesn't need to start with Baruch. So he says, well, then why does it have to become a Kom Chotem Baruch? Hov Aruka Kitzat. It's a little long, so it has to end with Baruch. So you see, Tosfot's already trying to figure this out. They're trying to come to a solution. He's not doing so well with the Elokai Neshama. It's a difficult answer. That's why the Gra says that it's a brachas mucha lechaberta, and that's why he puts them together. Now, b'chei nami tzarech lomar gabi atahu ad shelo nivra olam. What's found in the Karbanot, that does not begin with a bracha, but ends with a bracha, b'mekadesh et shemo b'rabim. So what about that? Where's the beginning bracha for that? So he says, that's a bracha ktano. Bracha ktano don't need an opening. They don't need this. Rashi thinks only brachot ktano need an opening, no conclusion. Tosfos is suggesting here that you can have a bracha ktano that has a concluding bracha, but not opening bracha. But Tosfot doesn't explain is why. Why some open and one side closed? It's not so clear from here from Tosfot. Then, next thing is, the hiratzon, the mihis mucha. What about the hiratzon? We say this every morning. You have birkot ha-shachar, all the birkot ha-shachar that you say is going along. Then you say, ma'vir shenam e'nai u'tumam e'afapai, hiratzon. That hiratzon ends with the bracha, does not begin with the bracha. Why? So, ha'mer rabbeinu tam, shimin ha-brocha, brochat ha-shem, ma'vir shenam e'nai. That is the same bracha. Is the opening for the bracha. And then, a gomel chazanim tovim lamo Yisrael is the conclusion. It's one bracha. That's why if you stay up all night, you're not supposed to answer amen to mavir shenam einai. The amen is at the end of gomel chazanim tovim lamo Yisrael. It's one bracha. But he says, I have a problem with that. We always know that you topically have to be consistent. You have to open with the same topic that you close. Here you open with, Hashem takes away our sleep, and you close with the gomel chazanim tovim lamo Yisrael. What do they have to do with each other? Justin comes out of the creative answer. It's a chesed that Hashem helps us to wake up and takes the shena away from our eyes in the morning. So that's it. They're topically consistent. So he makes it into one bracha. Now, other bracha after that, Birkat HaTorah. What about Birkat HaTorah? He says the same thing by Birkat HaTorah. We say, Lasof b'divrei Torah, harev na. And then we have Asher Bachar Banu. Tosfot says, Lasof b'divrei Torah is the opening for harev na. It's one bracha. Lasof b'divrei Torah, and then it continues with harev na, and concludes with, Amalei Torah Amar Yisrael is one bracha. Again, if someone's saying that bracha for you, don't answer amen after Lasok B'Dvei Torah, because that's the opening for Amalei Torah L'Mo Yisrael. So that is one bracha, and you only answer amen after the two of them together. Now, moving on to what Tzvi asked before. V'Yishtabach. What about Yishtabach? Yishtabach doesn't open bracha, but does conclude bracha. Smucha L'Boruch She'amar. L'Kach Yish Le'er Zaher L'Shalo L'Safer B'Nehem. You can't talk in Pesuvah Zimra. The bracha Smucha L'Averta is Baruch She'amar, opens with Baruch, ends with Baruch. And then Yishtabach is a smucha lechaverta. What about Afo Pishish Efsek Tuva Psuket Zirma Mikom Akom Lo Mifsuke Ubezeh Necha Brocha Achrona Shebe Kriyat Shema. That's how he explains Briacha Achrona Shebe Kriyat Shema, because the psukim in the middle of Kriyat Shema are not mafsik, and therefore you have a brocha a smucha lechaverta. Then Tosfot runs into a problem. What about when someone gets an aliyah in shul? Get an aliyah in shul, you make Asher Bachar Banu beforehand and Asher Natamanu afterwards. They both begin with Baruch and end with Baruch. But Psukim in the middle are not an interruption. Why is that? They should be able to, the Baruch afterwards should not start with Baruch. It should be Smucha Lechaverta, the first Bracha. So Tosfot says, well, in the time of the Gemara, they made one Bracha in the beginning, one at the end. It was too far apart. It was so far apart that they didn't want to call it a Bracha Smucha Lechaverta. Then when they instituted it, everybody made a Bracha, they just kept the original institution of the Brachot and put it together. That's Tosfot's solution. What's the other possibility? There's an easy solution. There's a difference between Kriyat HaTorah, Kriyat Shema, Psukat HaZimra, Halo. What's the difference between them? The difference between them is whether they are a religious tefillah or you're reading from the Torah. When you read from the Torah, Psukim are a hefsek. When you davening Psukim, the Psukim are part of the tefillah, and therefore they're not a hefsek.
The Kriyat Shema is the same every day. Every time you see those brachos.
Right, it's thematically, it's part of the bracha, exactly. So by Pesuvah Zimra, by Halel, by Kriyat Shema, they're all considered Smucha Lechaverta, because it's a part of the tefillah. The psukim are being quoted as part of the bracha, part of the tefillah. But in Kriyat HaTorah, you're not reading the psukim as to enhance the bracha. The bracha is because you're reading from the Torah, and therefore the Torah is not necessarily not a hefsek. It will be a hefsek, and that is another possible answer here that Tosfot does not give. The last thing Tosfot talks about is Birkat HaTorah. Birkat HaTorah, you see this in many Sidurim, you begin out, the beginning of the Torah begins, and then it says, Ne'man Atu Hashem Elokeinu, which is a separate paragraph. And Tosfot notes that it's a separate paragraph. He goes, but it's not a separate bracha. Ne'emar HaTohu is connected to the opening bracha in Birkat HaTorah. It's one bracha. But then Tosfot has to explain, why did they paragraph it off in the Machzorim? So Tosfot says that was they had a practice in their day that people used to stand up at that time. And the others quote from the Budraham and others that they used to actually insert in their own tefillot, their own shevach there. That there was an open forum for the Kaal to enter in their own shevach there, and that's why it was left that way. But technically, there are one bracha, and therefore we don't do that. Everybody says the bracha only answers Amen after you reach the end of Ne'aman Atahu, and we don't answer Amen after the first paragraph in the brachot. Right, just some little background, it's worth delving in, because it's exciting that Tosfot really lays out all Birkat HaShachar for us. Alright, now, Vamar Achmachman. Another proof that Tovah Meitiv is not Tvina Torah. They eliminated it in the Beit Avel. You don't say it in Beit Avel. What do they say in the Beit Avel? What do they say there? Baruch HaTovah Meitiv. The Tanakhama says they do say the bracha. They don't say Tovah Meitiv. Rather, they say Dayan Emet. So Mar says, Hatova Meitiv in Dayana Met Lo. According to the Tanakam, you're going to say Tova Meitiv and not say Dayana Emet? Ela Ema Afa Tova Meitiv. You say both. You say Tova Meitiv and Dayana Emet. Marzutra Ikla Bei Rav Ashi. Marzutra went to visit Rav Ashi when he was in Ovel. Itra Bei Milta. A bad thing happened to him, meaning Rav Ashi was in Ovel. Potach Uborich. And this is the bracha that he said in the Beit Ovel, which is, Tosfot says, is our practice today. Hatov. Hashem was good. Va Meitiv and does good. Kelemet, the God of truth. Dayan Emet, who judges truthfully. Shufet B'Tzedek, he judges B'Tzedek in righteousness. Lokeach B'Mishpat, he takes righteously. V'Shalit Bo'Olomo L'Sod Bo Kirtzano, he rules over his world to do as he pleases. Ki Chol D'Rachav Mishpat, all his ways are just. Shakol Shelo, everything belongs to him. V'Anachnu Amo, we are his nation. V'Avadav and his servants. And no matter what happens, anything that happens, you have to give praise to him. And to give him a bracha. Goder Peretzot B'Israel, the one who fences is the breaches in it, Klal Israel. Who ignored it, Pirzat Zot B'Israel, he should feel this breach, meaning the death that's taking place here, L'Chaim, for the goodness or for life. So that's the bracha Tovah Meitiv. Tosfot notes that the Bahagan an objection here to this bracha, because the bracha says in it Mishpat. And generally, you don't talk about Mishpat with Beit Avel. Anytime there's a Midat Din involved, we try to avoid talking about Mishpat. So the Bahag wanted to eliminate it. Tosfot says, not worth erasing something from the Gemara for that, and therefore the bracha stands in place. Now again, we have almost what's called a non sequitur. The Gemara just says, Laheichan hu chozer. Where does he go back to? What do you mean? What is this talking about? Now, according to Rashi, it's referencing back to the Gemara before. According to Rashi, the Gemara just interrupted the deal with Atovah Meitiv, and now it's going back to the same question before, which is, according to Rashi, if you are an individual, and you're an individual versus a Zimon, you have a difference in Alocha. So you have a difference in Alocha because the Zimon says Birkat Hazan, the individual does not say Birkat Hazan. So now the question is, Leichon Uzer Mitzin and started for the Zimon. Someone who joined the Zimon, before Rashi just said Birkat Hazimon is Arazan, and the one who stopped to join the Zimon had to stop eating, and he listened until Azan. Now he wants to go Chazar Zesh, Yivsik L'Shnaim, and he waited for the two, now Gamar Suato, and now he wants to start benching. Where does he start benching from? Does he start benching from Azan? Or does he start benching from No Delecha? That's what Rashi says, L'Shitato. Can this person just start from No Delecha, or does he begin from the beginning of Azan? And that's the question here. Rav Zid, Mishpeh Devay, Amar Chozer L'Rosh. Chozer L'Rosh means he goes back to the beginning of Azan. So Rashi says, because he's Chayiv in Zimon, so he's got to say Birkat Hazan. But I'm right, the Makom Shepasak. Then he goes back to place he stopped. Behilchotol, the Makom Shepasak. Goes back to place he stopped, that means according to Rashi, starts from No Delecha. Again, Tosfot can't handle this. What do you mean? You start from No Delecha. What happened to Birkat Hazan here? It can't be. Alright, so if you say Shomei HaKohen there, but he ate afterwards. Tosfot said he ate afterwards. If he ate afterwards, how can you not say Birkat Hazan again? The Birkat Hazan goes on your achila, and he ate afterwards. It can't be. Tosfot again disagrees with Rashi. Says Rashi the shitato, but he says no. Okay, in Tzarech Lomar, Laheichan hu chozer hamivarech lachar she'anu amisubim. Says that those people that answered there, the mivarech in the zimun itself. Where does he go back to? Rabotai nivarech. Yishem Hashem mivarech metabrolam. Birshud maranan rabbanam rabotai nivarech lachar she'achalnu mishalo. What do they answer? Baruch she'achalnu mishlo t'vochaininu. Where does now the Mevarech go back to? Does he have to go back over Nivarech? Does he go back? Or does he go over, does he continue on? Or does he say Baruch she'achalnu mishlo t'vochaininu? Does he repeat what they answered him? That's what Tosfot says. Tosfot says the question in the Zimun itself. The one who does the Zimon, does he have to repeat Chozer LeRosh? Shemarvei Chozer Vomer Nevarech Shachal Nemishalov Tvokhayinu? Rabban Arei, no, the Makom Shepasak, where he stopped from. He doesn't go back over Nevarech Shachal Nemishalov and then Baruch Shachal Nemishalov. He just says Baruch Shachal Nemishalov, just like everybody else did. He continues on. It's a question in the Zimon itself, according to Tosafot. That's one interpretation he brings. And then he brings from Aram the Ivro, another one. That was yesterday's daf. That you have three people, and one of them left to the shuk. Korimlo. They call him, and Mihuyaneh, if he answers. How long does he have to stay with them for the Zimon? What does he have to do? And when he goes to the bench for himself, where does he go to? So that's what it says. Where does he go back to? He listened in on the benching that they were doing back in the ranch. He's out in the shuk, he's listening to them in the ranch. So now when he wants to go bench for himself, where does he start from? The makom shepasak. He starts from Noda Lecha. Or does he start from Azan? So the halacha is he starts from Noda Lecha. Wait, why doesn't Tosfot have a problem with that? Starting from Noda Lecha. The answer is that over there was no hefsek. He didn't eat afterwards. Wait, Rashi's explaining he ate afterwards, and then he wants him not to start Azan? That he can't accept. The one in the shuk is just he's far away. He answers the Zimon, but he doesn't eat then. He just answers and he has the bench by himself. Where does he start from? Azan or Noda Lecha? Starts from Noda Lecha because he already heard Azan. If he heard Azan, that's enough because he's not eating anymore. But if he eats, how could you start from Noda Lecha? And that's why Tosfot again rejects Rashi's explanation over here. Even though you are venerable, reverent, great Rabbanon, when it comes to etiquette in meals, the Persians are better than you. They have better etiquette in the meal. When there are two people who sit down to a meal, mitot here, as Rashi describes, or when they used to lay down on their side, Rashi points out that their legs were actually on the ground. The mitah is not your whole body, it's just the upper half of your body leans on the bed, and that way you're able to be somewhat upright, and your left arm or side is on this couch, and you eat in that manner. So then, if you have only two, gadol masei virosh, the gadol, the person this is, and you have to know this in the Gemara, this is an extremely hierarchical society. And it's very important where you sit. Where you sit is more than meaningful to people. It tells you everything about where you stand in society, and that is important. So you'll see this, even in, not even for the Persians, but even for the Rabbonah. So he sits down first. Ushei lo lamala heimenu is above him. Now above him here means to his head side, to the left of him. To the left of him or to his head side. Where it says lamata heimenu means to his feet side or to his right. So the left side means that he lays on a bed, and the one above him means that he's to the left of him. He's up above him on the left side. Ubizmachim shalosh, if there are three of them, gadol mesiv be'emtza, the gadol is in the middle, sheni lo la'amala me'enu, the second one, I mean, in hierarchy, the second one goes above him, meaning to his left, shlishi lo la'amata, meaning who's below his feet, is on the right of him. So Amar Leis, now Rav Sheshit responds to Reish Galut, and he says, I don't think that's such great etiquette. V'chi bayish tui ba'adei, in the first case, when you only have two of them, where did you seat the second one? You sat him above him. You sat him to the left. Now, if the gadol wants to speak to the person above him, what is he going to have to do? He's facing this way. He's facing downward towards his feet. He's going to have to get up, turn around, and look at him. That doesn't make sense. He's going to have to sit himself erect, turn around, and speak to him? Says, you don't know the Persians. They use sign language. They don't speak. They use their fingers to indicate things. So he can do that, doing this way. Mayim Rishonim Eichan Matchilim. So Rav Sheshit queries the Reish Galuto, how do the Persians deal with Mayim Rishonim? I'm like, mina gadol. He says they start Mayim Rishonim from the biggest one, the greatest party there, the highest level. So then he says, Rav Sheshit, how can it be? Yeshiv gadol b'shmo yadav shnotlim kulan. He's got to sit there quietly and keep his hands clean until everybody else washes? That's not respectful. So the Reish Galuto says, no problem. He starts eating right away. They bring his table out as soon as he's washed. And as each subsequent person watches, they bring them their private table. Mayim Rachonim Eichen Matchilin. So Rav Sheshit queries, hey, Reish Galuto, where do they start Mayim Rachonim from? He says, Amalei Min HaKatan. They start from the smallest, meaning that the lowest on the totem pole. So then he says, V'gadol Yativ Yadav Mzuamot. The gadol is going to sit with his dirty hands until everybody washes. Achnotim Kulan. Amalei. No, he says, you don't understand. The Persians. Lo Masaki Taka Mekamei Adamamte Mayil Gabei. They don't take away the table until they bring the water. So the gadol continues to eat while everybody else is washing. They're taking away their tables. He gets to finish last on his table. So Rav Sheshit, Ana Madita Yadano, says, I don't know anything about the Persians. I know the Tosefta. The Tosefta, which is Keser Sever Haseba. How does Haseba work? And you'll see here, as Ma'achim Shtei Mitot, when they are two individuals, gadol may say Verosh, The Gadol goes down first. V'sheni lo la'amata emenu. Like Rav Sheshit said, he goes below his feet because then the Gadol can speak to him without having to move. He looks down. The one who has to turn his head is the one below him. V'zvanchen shalosh. When they're three, then mitod Gadol mesiv berosh. He goes first. V'sheni lo la'amala emenu. Shlishi lo la'amata emenu. Exactly like the Persians. So here, the second hierarchy goes above. The third one in the hierarchy goes below him. What about Rav Sheshit's problem now? He's going to turn around to talk to the second one. No, you can talk to the third guy without turning. But God forbid that you're pogayim the kavod of the second one. If you put him down below, he would think that he's the third in line. And that would be a huge pee on his kavod. So that you can't do. Even though they can't talk now. Nevertheless, in order to be pogayim his kavod, you have to put him up above. Mayim rishonim matchilim in a gadol. Same as the Persians, begin from the gadol. Mayim achronim bizman shem hei matchilim in a gadol. When there are only five left, you start from the gadol. Bizman shem meya, meya means anything above five. Matchilim in a katan, you go from the lowest on the totem pole, ad shemegim etzlei, until you get to the last five. V'chozim matchilim in a gadol. Then when the last five, you start from the highest ranked in the five, meaning the highest ranked of the group there. Olamakom shemayim achronim chozim l'sham bracha chozeret. Whoever washes in the last five, whoever washes first, he benches. Either that's the gadol, or if the gadol gives it to someone else, then they bench. Misai l'rav, the Amar Rav Chiya Barashi, we just saw this back on Daf Mem Gimel. Amar Rav, kolanota yadav achronah, tchilah umizuman lebrocha. Whoever washes the yamayim achronim first, does the benching. Again, that's only in the last five. Rav v'rabbi chiya, abu yatfei besudata, kamei derabbi, same story. Rav, before he was Yored the Bavel, was in Eretz Yisrael. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. We know those from the stories of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, who talked about Rabbi being in front. He was a Talmud of Rabbi, and Rabbi Chiya is his uncle. So they're both sitting in front of Rabbi eating. Amalei Rabbi the Rav, kum ha-sheyodach. Rabbi says to Rav, wash your hands. Chazid kar mirtot. Rabbi Chiya sees that Rabbi's shaking in, you know, shaking in his boots. He thinks Rabbi saw him do so. He was either eating too much, or his hands were dirty. He was giving him some sort of sign that he was doing something wrong. Samalei bar pachte, you son of Gedolim, ayin b'berkat mezono kamalach. When he's telling you to go wash first, he's telling you that he wants you to bench for us. And that was the indication that the one who does mayim achronim is one to bench. Alright, we will stop over here.